T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. It is the Vikings and San Francisco 49ers today, and there's always some good local connection stories throughout the NFL. And Pete, you'll appreciate this one because Brent Schaub has paid his dues and made it in scaled heights that most will never scale. He was a part of the St. Cloud Rocks under the tutelage of Joel Sutherland, one of the great entrepreneurs that started that league, and is now the chief revenue officer for the San Francisco 49ers. And I might add, Pete, for the second straight week, just by pure chance, last week we had Joel Weins on, who started WSI. And both of these two gentlemen hail from Windham, Minnesota. Purely coincidence. Brent, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Definitely appreciate it. No, I never forget my roots in Windham, Minnesota, certainly.
Yeah, it's just ironic. What's it like to be the chief financial or chief revenue officer for the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, you know, it's been a blast. I got a great group, great leadership, great ownership here with the 49ers and Levi's Stadium. Actually, another Minnesota connection, Ethan Kasson, who's now the CEO of the Timberwolves, was one of the individuals that brought me out here. He was our chief operating officer at the time. So I've been out here in the Bay Area for over a decade now. My wife's family's from here. So no doubt that Minnesota is still certainly home, but building a new home out here in California.
Well, what's really impressive for me, Max, is I'm looking at, I was looking at a few things about Brent, and it says he's named one of the 40 under 40 list in Silicon Valley. Do you know what that means, Maxie?
I know what Silicon Valley means.
Yeah, me too. And the fact that you're on that list, Brent, that says a lot about what you've been able to accomplish and how impressed you, you've put a great impression upon many, obviously. Could you have ever imagined where you are now when you're, from a smaller part of Minnesota, you go up to St. Cloud State? What was your major? How did you get to where you are? Because I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there who would love to be in your shoes someday. So how did you get there?
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely very fortunate. Had a great family growing up in Windham, played baseball, basketball, and football. Got really hooked on sports in the 87 and 91 World Series. Still a hardcore Twins fan to this day. And really got connected in with Joel Sutherland, who you guys mentioned, with the Northwoods League, and worked for the St. Cloud Rocks. They were the River Bats at the time. And really got my hands dirty on the business side and started to understand that background. I tried out for the St. Cloud State baseball team and gave up a home run that still hasn't landed. So my baseball career was ended very quickly in tryouts there. But yeah, Joel kind of showed me the ropes. And from there, just had great mentors all the way through my career with in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and now the NFL.
Yeah, Joel mentored a lot of people there that came and went through there and did a lot of great things since then, to be sure. Now, people that aren't familiar with, you think you're going to watch San Francisco, 49ers play in San Francisco. You land in San Jose, and it's about 10 minutes from the San Jose airport, and to Pete's previous point, not far from Silicon Valley. What does that do for you in terms of proximity of, if you're in marketing and revenue? Does Silicon Valley play a huge dividend to the 49ers, or are they so national in scope that you're just another team to them?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the only team that was really in Silicon Valley prior to us coming down were the San Jose Sharks NHL team. And the interesting thing is the major fan bases for the 49ers, the Giants, the Warriors, the Sharks, ourselves, et cetera, really came from Santa Clara County, which is the heart of Silicon Valley and where the majority of the folks in technology and in Silicon Valley work and live. So for us, we actually moved a little bit more central to our fan base. With this being our 75th anniversary, obviously our roots are in San Francisco, and it's about a 40-minute drive or so on a Sunday, so we're still relatively close to the city ultimately.
You know, Maxie, when I was a kid born in San Francisco, we actually had a house up on the hill in Twin Peaks that used to look into Kezar Stadium. Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of people aren't old enough to know that, Brent. You're one of them.
Yeah, that's a beautiful facility. It's still there today. They play high school football there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. But with Levi Stadium, and I know you have so many different roles in the position you are as the chief revenue officer, but how busy, like how often does the stadium used? Obviously, we know it's for the 49ers, but it seems like that is a great stadium for a lot of other events. Is it something where you guys are oftentimes having something going on, some event going on a pretty consistent basis out of Levi Stadium?
Yeah, we are. And to hit back in your Silicon Valley comment, so we're essentially a mid-sized convention center for all these technology companies. So, you know, you have Netflix, Intel, Google, Yahoo, et cetera, that are all headquartered right around the corner from us, pretty much throw a football to all their HQs. So we host a ton of private events, over 100 every year. We actually just had the FIFA delegation in. We're working on a World Cup bid currently. We hosted Super Bowl 50. CFP, national championship game, et cetera. So our goal here is really to host some of the biggest events in the world. On the public event side, concerts as well have gone through here, from Beyonce to country shows, to Grateful Dead, you name it. But ultimately, we have about 20 events a year on a large scale, and then about 100 smaller events a year.
Brent Shoub is our guest, Chief Revenue Officer for the San Francisco 49ers. Grew up in Windham, Minnesota, and, of course, the Vikings, the 49ers today. The last game that I traveled with to cover the Vikings was the San Francisco 49er playoff loss a couple of years ago, Brent. And I it was the first time that I had been to Levi Stadium, and I don't want to say shocked, but I couldn't believe how they get after it in terms of tailgating and the inside the stadium. You know, Joe Montana was there that day, and I remember running into Brent Hedekin and Christy Yamaguchi. I mean, it was packed, and it was loud, and it was home field advantage. I assume it'll be much the same today. I'm sure that it's not just because of the playoffs, but it seems like your fan base is much more fervent than I even anticipated, and it's loud. Will that be a factor today, and is that a part of marketing, or is that just something that grew organically after the stadium was built and people followed you from San Francisco?
Yeah, we're definitely expecting one of our biggest crowds we've ever had at Levi's Stadium. I know there'll be some purple and gold. I have some buddies from Windham, Minnesota, that made the truck out here, so I'll make sure they're in the top row of the stadium, you know. But
I got your tickets all right.
Exactly. But, yeah, we expect a full packed crowd, juiced-up crowd. I was actually, when I drove in this morning, our parking lots, our tailgate lots weren't open yet, but our fans were tailgating in their trucks, waiting in line to get into the tailgate lot. So it should be a rowdy one today.
Hey, Brent, real quick. Oh, by the way, one more thing that connects you and I pretty well together. I did college football. I did color commentary for St. Cloud State for a number of years when I got out of football back. By the way, one more thing that connects you and I pretty well together. I did college football. I did color commentary for St. Cloud State for a number of years when I got out of football back in the early 90s. So that's we're tied that way too. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Where are we going in terms of salary cap? I'm curious because, you know, there's a lot of sports that are struggling a little bit, and fan bases and all the rest of the different storylines that go out there. And obviously, that is a huge piece of the puzzle as teams have to stay within that salary cap. Are we going even higher with the salary cap going forward? Do you see that getting much bigger?
Yeah, it certainly is. And as you guys know, the competitive balance in the NFL and how they set up this hard salary cap is incredible. Like literally today, who knows who's going to win? The teams are so close every single week, and every week it's a coin toss, I feel like. So the NFL has done a great job with their new media partnerships. So it really is tied to the media and the revenue that the league at the NFL league office pulls together. And based on those new deals, the salary cap is going to increase moving forward here as well.
It's amazing. And, you know, last question for you, Brent, we'll let you go. Obviously, we hear COVID and we hear, you know, South Africa and new variant and all those things. And like I said, last time I was in, at your stadium, it was like we're just starting to hear about it. And then about a month later, of course, everything changed. How much does the NFL watch that? How much do you fear that? Where does that, what role does that play in, you know, in the behemoth that is the NFL going forward?
Yeah, it's certainly important for everybody. I mean, all of us took a backseat to COVID. I mean, we were the largest vaccination site in the state of California, Levi's Stadium was. So we vaccinated over 300,000 individuals last year as we went through COVID. So we're keeping a close eye on it. There's a chief medical officer at the NFL. We all have delegations on our end in terms of a COVID committee that we have here in the Bay Area that we're monitoring and watching this. But certainly health is first and foremost for everybody. The one thing that I do love about football is that it really brings the community together. So I think folks, you know, we're an outdoor stadium. Folks have been knocking at our door to come back to games, and we're taking the appropriate protocols and knock on wood, everything's been smooth sailing so far.
Well, Brent, congratulations on your great career out there. And Joel Sutherland said he could tell a mile away you were going to be a good one. I don't even know if he knew you'd rise to those heights, but it's I think he had a pretty good idea of what he was talking about. So thank you so much for giving us some time, and we'll be watching for you. Now, be careful who you cheer for today.
Hey, great being on. Good luck to the Vikings every week except this one.
Understood.
Except this one. Yeah. Thanks, Brent.
From Minnesota to the top of the food chain with the San Francisco 49ers. God, always fun to catch up with kids that grew up here and do something good, Pete.
It's impressive. It's unbelievable. Think of that role that he's got right now, Maxie. It's an incredible role with one of the franchise, you know, the greatest franchises in history of the NFL. And here's a Minnesota guy who's under 40 years old who's really kind of running the show when you're talking about the financial side of things. Absolutely.
Yeah, and he did it the hard way, right? He did it on his own. It wasn't somebody giving it to him, which is always fun.
Yep.
You're listening to The Huddle. It's Mike Max, it's Pete Najeri, and plenty more to talk about when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Huddle, Pete Najeri and Mike Max. Pete, the topic I'm about to broach is layers deep for obvious reasons, but we talk about Everson Griffin and what he went through this past week. Before we talk about that and the impact and the concerns, one of the things that was, I'm not going to go too deep on this, but you know, as I talk to people, you know, law enforcement and people that were, you know, there are a lot of people out there on the scene from the, you know, the SWAT team to police to negotiators and all those things. And after they had successfully got his wife and children out of the house, and they knew that it was just Everson and Everson had guns, it became a very fluid, difficult situation, which is why it took a long time. But can you imagine, Pete, if you're in that scenario where you're a police officer or a SWAT person on the SWAT team, and you have to make a decision now when Everson Griffin's in there, do we try to de-escalate this situation and take action, or do we wait him out knowing that, you know, he could do harm to himself if we allow this to go on too long as well? Can you imagine how difficult that is to be in that situation for all parties?
No, especially because it's obviously real life.
It's real life in real time, you know?
Real time, yeah, because, you know, we watch movies like The Negotiator and others out there that where there are scenarios like this. But that's, you know, we all hopefully know that that's just a movie or a show. It's incredible to me, Maxie. I can't imagine being in that position. They're trained to do that, though, and they do an excellent job.
But hypothetically, what's going through their mind is, what if Everson fires on us? You know, I mean, all these things you have to think right now, you know?
And he could. You know, the reality is and the fact that he's already had a little bit of a history. You know, they have an understanding. Yeah. So this isn't brand new for him. So that, I think in some ways that kind of probably prepared the group that was dealing with him and trying to figure this out and negotiate and all of that, because, you know, obviously this is a very difficult situation. Oh. And there's so many layers, as you said, to this whole storyline, and it's difficult. And, you know, it really is sad, because he's, you know, from a football perspective, I love that he's been able to come back, and he's back here with Minnesota, and he seems like he's loving what he's doing, and he's attacking every single play, and he's doing all those things. And you just feel bad that he, you know, this is something that he's having such difficulty with, tackling this terrible issue with mental health, which is, and it's bigger, Maxie, than people think.
Oh, boy, is it.
It stretches out a lot of arms and legs across every team's got guys on there who have some sort of issues. Now, if they're able to take care of that with medicine and different types of things that they've got to do, that's fantastic, but it doesn't always work, and it makes it really difficult. And we're talking about, on top of everything else, we're talking about fairly big, intimidating individuals. Forget the gun. Griffith's.
I mean, 3 years ago when this happened, and they, you know, Everson, you remember, he got hit out of an ambulance that was trying to take him away. Yeah. And now you're talking about a 280-pound man that you're trying to get back in.
Big, strong, aggressive, you know, all very positive qualities. I mean that in a strong
field,
way.
Yep.
But oh, my goodness, yeah, with all of that, and then to break out of that ambulance and you know, run off into the distance and all the different, you know, that it really does, you know, and I think there is an extra layer when you talk about size and strength and then added fear for the people that are having to deal with this situation. It's one thing. If you and I are there and we're the paramedics or whatever, Maxie, and it's somebody who's 5'7 and 165 pounds, I think you and I are probably, we could probably, you know, figure out
that's
things.
Right. And all your decisions are therefore different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a big
man,
huge human being
and
who's strong.
And I'll throw another piece into this, because I think this happens every time now that people are called out in situations like this is, you know, there's all these protocol for, you know, don't fire until fired upon, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We live in a city that is the apex of unrest, and we know how quickly people can react to situations. So how you handle it matters a lot. And the perception of law enforcement, whether they fire upon or not, matters a lot in how you calculate what you're doing next.
And I'll even say this, Maxie. I think that there's a responsibility of the NFL to reach out, because Everson Griffith is not the only guy who's got some sort of mental health issues. But he's obviously, because of who he is, his colorful personality and all of the things, because he's a really intellectual guy. And I know you know that because you're around the Vikings
and
more than I am.
A lot. And he married a young lady from here. He's invested himself in this community. I ran him this summer. We had a nice long visit, you know, and when he's on, well, you know, these, you know, obviously, you and I aren't qualified necessarily to diagnose, but you know, these guys, Pete, when they're on, and when they're down, they're down.
Yeah. That's really well said, because that is so true. And in Everson's, you know, situation, I hope the NFL is smart enough that this doesn't just, this is not something that a Band-Aid is put on it for him. This is something where I think the NFL has the responsibility that they need to monitor him now, but also monitor him into the future when he's away from football, when he's away from the Vikings, whatever he might be doing.
There is the big question, I think, that's being pondered right now. And, you know, quite frankly, at some point in time, probably sooner than later, his career is going to end. And then what happens to Everson? We'll talk about it more down the road. When we come back, Sean Salisbury will join us. He'll break down today's game, Kirk Cousins, and the impact this can have on the locker room when we return on The Huddle. Minnesota, currently sunny and 34 degrees. Welcome back to The Huddle. Joining us now, former Minnesota Viking NFL veteran quarterback Sean Salisbury. Sean, how are you?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. Great to be on with you. Happy holidays. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. Now, before we'll get into the game and a little bit with the Vikings here, but Pete and I were just talking about in the last segment, and I don't mean to start with something too heavy, but it certainly is part of the news today with Everson Griffith and what he went through in his standoff, and obviously eventually he was sequestered, and he's getting the help that he needs. Sean, how does something like an event like that affect an NFL locker room during the week when your friend and your teammate isn't in there one day for all reasons that people are concerned about?
Well, one is, you know, you have a job to do, but life trumps any job you have. And I would imagine teammates that he's close to or that are close to him, and there's quite a few of them, if they know the things he's been going through. And that's why I'm always very cognizant to be kind to people, because any of us that have hit whatever our rock bottom is, and it may be different than Everson's and it may be different than somebody else's, but everybody's going through something. And it's nothing to laugh at, whether it's with mental health or struggles. And it sure puts perspective on in football, but you also know it's your career and it's your job. So the effect it has is that you're, you know you got to play a game, but you're also thinking about your teammate, your friend, a guy who this is a life situation, meaning, this is, you're talking about, this is something that further football was the farthest thing from his mind this past week. And I'm sure quite a few coaches and fans and teammates as well. So while your thoughts and prayers are with him, and that, before the game, you go do your job. You, when it's done, you go back and you do whatever you can to put your arm around him, to be a good listening ear. And we have two ears and one mouth, and a lot of times we need to use them more accordingly. And he's obviously going through whatever difficult times he is, so to be a good listener. But, the game's not going to get canceled, so you have to go play it because it's your job. But it adds a tremendous amount of perspective that we should probably have anyway, not just for athletes, but for anybody, the person sitting next to you, the person at the grocery store, the person playing sports, the person at the job, and realize that everybody goes through something, and Everson's going through a very, very difficult time.
Pete?
That's really well said, Sean. Thank you. That's awesome. I'll tell you what, one thing people probably don't know is you and I actually, at one point in time, our paths crossed. We were in Seattle together, but you wouldn't
really
remember me. Because,
right. Well, dang it, Pete, every time we bring somebody in there, you played with them against them somewhere. Yeah.
You know why, Maxie? I'm terrible.
Seattle, yes.
Well, you actually, I started your career, and I started my trip around the country having a cup of coffee with different teams. But I tell you what, I loved Ground Chuck. He was a great coach, and he was nice enough. I actually walked into his room, Maxie and Sean. I walked into his room and I said, "Look, Coach, I'm laying in bed at night. There's no way I'm going to make this team. Can you cut me?" And he looked at me and he goes, "Nobody's ever asked to do that before." I said, "Well, I'd love for you to cut me. I really would." And so he did, and I got on with the Vikings, and it kind of it extended things for me. But on that side of things, I got to tell you, Sean, I've watched and loved what you've been able to do throughout your career and as an analyst and what you do with all of that. It's phenomenal. What do you think right now about Kirk Cousins, because he's under so much pressure here in Minnesota? Everybody's always on what Kirk's done, and he's not this, he's not that. But including last week, Kirk went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, and basically they had almost identical numbers and incredible numbers. What do you think about Kirk Cousins right now, and where do you rate him in terms of quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah, Pete, great point. And real quick, and yeah, I do remember. I don't remember a lot of the picks or touchdowns I threw because there wasn't many, but I remember teammates. And Pete is exactly right. Chuck Knox, every player should have the opportunity to play, have been coached by Chuck Knox. Pete and I mm-hmm. could probably share stories forever, from our dash to cash in the preseason where they're giving out money. Boy, have times changed. But Chuck Knox, one of the all-time greats, and what an honor it was to play. And I've had great teammates, so I do remember. And it's how ironic, from Seattle, then Pete plays in Minnesota as well as I did. But you know what, for Cousins, Pete, I think he's having, in my mind, watching him, forget the numbers, and the numbers are good because he's always put up numbers. I think Cousins is having his underrated, when people on the national scale, because I think people are waiting for something that go wrong in a clutch situation, right? He's been good on the road, and they've had their moments where the Vikings haven't been able to close, but they're getting better. And they, going on the road has been they've been really good, and then defending themselves at home last week, which was huge for him. Not only did he go toe to toe, I can make the argument he played better because they won. So, I've been critical of him in the past and saying I don't know if he can win a Super Bowl because I'm waiting for him to do this when everything else is going to hell in a handbasket, where the great ones like Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes take their team to another level and overcome in spite of what's going on around him. But I stand up and I'll stand on a table and raise my hand that Kirk Cousins has taken it to another level this year. They're not winning in spite of him. They're winning because of him and a bunch of other players, not just him. And I think he's done – when they lose games, Cousins has kept them in it for the most part. I think he's having an underrated great season. And I think that Pete and Mike, the reason people are waiting, not only I said for it to fall off, I think the one thing that will elevate him to another level is that guy who can make the jump shot in, you know, in the NBA Finals, or who can make the tackle when it matters, or who makes that throw in January. We saw him do it against the Saints a couple years ago. But to extend it and get them deep, because we know he's going to put up numbers, if he can do that in January, win a couple games, I think that takes him over the top, because we're waiting. He's got everything you want, numbers, and he stands by his beliefs, whatever they're, whether you agree with them or not. And he's been great for this team this year. And I think Cousins is quietly having, and maybe it's louder there than it is nationwide, but I've watched every single game and every throw he's made this year, and I've been overly impressed. For him to convince the naysayers, it's going to have to be in January or games like this or what he did last week with Aaron and sustain it, because I think he deserves more respect than he's been given. But a lot of that is we judge our quarterbacks by February wins and by January wins, and Cousins gets a few more of those, we may be speaking about him different. I hope so, because he's been really, really good this year.
Sean Salisbury is our guest. Sean, you're Mike Zimmer. You know you're in the last year of a contract, in essence. You got seven games to the finish line. You have a completely now redone on the fly defensive line. You've played last possession games. All 10 games have been, you know, in the fourth quarter decided. How does he as a coach get this team to the playoffs? What's the most important thing that a head coach can bring to this party right now?
Is to not play to lose. I mean, play not to lose, but to play to win. It's easy at this point in time to get a little cute. I'm not saying Mike will, but to protect when you know in the fourth quarter, well, it's a close game. Let's play not to lose. I love aggressive teams. Tom Moore, the great Tom Moore, who coached us in Minnesota, our offensive staff, and who's coached Peyton Manning, been in the league 80 years and been killing it. I'm a little facetious, but Tom, he always told us, don't play scared, just don't play stupid. And that means cut it loose when it's there, let it go. And, you know, part of being a great coach is to make sure, and a scouting department is to give you backups that can close the gap between the starters. But when they're out there, your expectations. Don't put the expectations on a backup or a revamped line that we're not good enough, so we've got to protect them. No, that's their job. They pick up a paycheck just like the rest of the guys do, and that's why they're in the league. And if you're offensively, you keep protecting the ball and you stay aggressive. That guy that's in the backfield, Dalvin Cook's pretty good. I don't have a problem leaning on him. But to play as if every single game is single elimination, what they're proving to themselves, though, Mike and Pete, is that they can stay in close games. And hopefully throughout the time, they'll have a 3-touchdown lead and win. But I love teams that almost have to play on edge. I've seen it in the past, teams that were, you know, had to win games 5 or 6 in a row to get in. I'm okay with that, because then you're actually battle tested for the when I train quarterbacks, I put them under as much duress as possible. The Vikings been under a lot of duress, and Mike can't be playing from, and I know it is the contract. Mike's got a coach, just like I know he will, not coaching for a contract extension. That'll come with wins. Coaching to go win, and if that means every single time you approach your team, it's single elimination, that's okay. These guys are pros. They know how to take it, and if they don't, then they won't show up. But I have a hunch Michael coaches ass off, and I fully believe that if they play to win and play not to lose, which is easy to do, that the Vikings are going to be fine. They're playing good football right now, and they're going to give the 49ers all that the 49ers can handle. The Vikings, quite frankly, considering their roster and where they are with the explosiveness, I know they're underdogs, but even though they're going on the road, I like them in this football game.
Sean, speak to us a little bit about the trust factor that a quarterback has to have, and I think we're seeing that right in front of our very eyes with Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, because the last couple of weeks, he's been throwing the ball when he's covered and allowing him to go up and make sure he gets the ball away from the DB and comes down with it and gets touchdowns. Justin Jefferson, unreal receiver. It's understandable, but talk about that trust you've got to have with those receivers, because you're throwing basically a ball that could get picked, but you're willing to do it because you know your receiver is going to take that ball away.
Yeah, Pete, it becomes, you know how we always call it 50-50 balls, but if you got guys like we did with Chris Carter, or when I was in Seattle, when I was a rookie with Steve Largent there, those weren't 50-50 balls. Those were balls that our guy was going to win. And we had it in Seattle, and I said it to somebody. I said it earlier this week in Seattle. In Minnesota on a show, I said, you know what? It was Steve Largent was simply a 70-y option on 3rd and 5. It was throw it to number 80, which was Largent. And we did that with number 80 in Minnesota with Chris Carter. And this Jefferson, while he's not Randy Moss yet, guys, but I'm going to tell you, with all that skill set, there's a tendency as a route runner, as a superstar receiver, to rely on the physical side and not polish what you do, the routes. This kid is polished. He's a finisher, superstar receiver, to rely on the physical side and not polish what you do, the routes. This kid is polished. He's a finisher. And you're right, Pete, as a quarterback, and we've all had that guy, whether it's Troy Aikman with Novacek or Mike Irvin or these guys, everybody has that guy they lean on that says, listen, even if there's a second guy in the neighborhood, if we don't get it, they're not. And I think right now, come on now. If you're Kirk Cousins, and that goes back to don't play scared, just don't play stupid. If you've got him single covered, take your shots. Go for it. They're dumb enough to play him man. Take your shots. And if you're smart enough and you get it out on time and throw people open, even if there's a guy in the neighborhood without throwing it where three guys are in front, Jefferson's going to give you a great chance to win. So, there, Pete, that trust factor, it's like the quarterback in the pocket trusting the five guys that when a guy flashes, the back's going to knock him away from you in the pocket, that the center's going to do or the guard's going to dual read and get to his guy, and you got to trust it. Same thing here. And right now I can't imagine across the league that there's five quarterbacks who trust their star as much as Cousins trust Jefferson. It's not fake trust. It's real because every week they're proving it, Jefferson is. And I think Cousins is players trust in Cousins to make that right throw under duress at the right time is starting to come to fruition. And sometimes it happens 5 years into the league, and sometimes for a player or a grouping it happens a dozen years into the league. And it's a good time for it to happen now because heading into December, it's going to be very, very important that those two continue this onslaught.
All right, Sean, one last question along those lines, and it continues a theme. Pete, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Odell Beckham Jr.'s mother is from Windham, Minnesota. We've had two guests from Windham the last 2 weeks, right? And one's the chief revenue officer.
I'm not from Windham.
No, Sean's not from Windham. But we've had two guests from Windham, and then Beckham gets traded, of course, to the Rams. His mother has texted with back and forth when he was in town with Cleveland. The Rams could be a factor for the Vikings going to the playoffs, certainly a factor today playing the Packers. Can you have that trust with him when he shows up for the rest of the season? Because this could play in, this could have an effect on the Vikings' status. Can he be a difference maker for the Rams, or does it take too long to build that trust, Sean?
I don't think it does. Especially on the routes, it doesn't. A curl's a curl. A dig's a dig. It's Stafford believing that he's going to win. And there are certain routes, whether it's option routes that come into play or formations lining up, make sure that as you go on 2 and 3 weeks into it, today is going to be big. They need him. We already know how good Cooper Kupp is. And here's what Matt Stafford's got to guard against, though, Mike and Pete, is Beckham's a very, very alpha guy. When he walks into town, it's like, I got to get him the ball. We did this with AC, and that was a different way because AC, just when we give Anthony Carter the ball early in a game, he exploded. So we wanted to get him involved, whether it's a hitch screen, a jet sweep, and then AC'd go haywire. I think with Beckham, it doesn't have to be a big home run. Get the ball in his hands and let him do something with it after the catch. You can't teach speed, and he's got that. But Stafford's got to guard against trying to force that there. But when they're single coverage, take your chances, man. Take your shots. And the rhythm that starts to build, we know how good Beckham is, but that rhythm's going to come with completions without forcing them. So, yeah, he can be a difference maker because he has the ability on an 8-yard, 12-yard slant route to take it the distance without forcing it there. The truth is Stafford just needs to go through progressions to get it to the right guy. But when they're single coverage, you got to get Beckham involved early because you don't want a guy to pout and disappear late in the fourth quarter. It's going to be a minute. But I think on certain packages, Matt Stafford will know that Beckham can win. And if they're going to get where they want to go, he is going to have to be a factor.
Sean, great stuff. Appreciate it. And great to reconnect with you.
Really appreciate it, Sean. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Peter. Pete, stay in touch, brother. It's always good to catch
up
with you. You guys keep it up. All right, guys.
You bet. Sean Salisbury, nice enough to join us. We'll wrap up this edition of The Huddle when we come back. Welcome back to The Huddle. What a show we've had today. Holy cow. Pete Najarian, there are a number of openings for coaches in college football. Jerry Kill, who we just had on a couple of weeks ago, going to take the job at New Mexico State. And I say congratulations, and I go, oh, please be safe, you know?
Obviously, when he takes that step,
it says something about him when you can be 60 years old, have a medical history, and still have somebody that wants to have you lead their young men in the program. But there's a lot of openings out there, and I really thought that after we came through COVID, that one of the areas that you'd see at first was you'd see reduced salaries for power football and basketball coaches in the Power Five conferences. not only are we not seeing it, I'm looking at this going, my God, you know, PJ might be underpaid, you know?
He actually is.
I know. If you do the math and you look at,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you look around the Big Ten and you see Michigan State. Now, let's be honest, those are all bigger stadiums. They fill those stadiums, and there's a lot of money generated. There's no doubt about it. Michigan State, Penn State, Michigan, all those schools. But to have Michigan State, they wrapped up that coach almost immediately, right? It's a short term, and it's not a big, long list of what they've been able to analyze, but they made the decision. They're committed.
I looked at that and said, hang on, guys. I think Michigan, I'm not so sure that you didn't have magic this year, but I mean, they know more than I do, but that's a big number.
That is a big number, and the Penn State number. I think they've liked James Franklin for a long time. Yeah. He's done an outstanding job there. This year, I thought they didn't look like the Penn State teams of the past, but that can happen. And they lost a quarterback, so it makes some sense, Maxie. But when I look out there and I see USC, they don't have a head coach. I look at LSU, no head coach. They fired him. Florida, that guy's gone. That's open. You mentioned TCU. There's Virginia Tech. There's Washington. These are big programs, monstrous programs, some of them with great history. And, and the fact that those are all open, there's going to be some moving around here. And obviously they're going to go back and forth with some of the guys who've been fired are going to get picked up other places. But if they don't, they'll just go to Alabama and be with coach because he just brings in every old former coach that gets fired.
Come on in for a year, you know. We'll steal some of your ideas. Then you can go get a head job and we'll all be happy. Yeah.
It's just amazing. And I even saw, Maxie, where Skip Holtz actually does – he's not going to return to Louisiana Tech. And, Skip, we've known him forever. Obviously, Lou's son and great coach. He's been a lot of different places. But it sounds like he's decided that on his decision to actually step away. So a lot of openings out there. It's stunning to me. But you know, like you said, it's the dollars that are the most stunning.
The dollars. I assume that somebody knows, right, that this makes sense for our university based upon the revenue against it. And I think that's where we get caught up in number. The truth is, Pete, and we could have a long philosophical discussion, and one day we will. You could make a case that football coaches are underpaid relative to the revenue that they bring into a school, and that there are many non-revenue sports that are overpaid based on the revenue they bring into a school. That's the algorithm we use on the open market in business, right?
Right, yeah. And if you're just looking at those numbers, and I'll throw out one more for you, Maxie. When my daughter was coming out of high school in New Canaan, Connecticut, and she was looking at schools, one of the schools she liked was Alabama.
Yeah.
And I took a look at Alabama. I looked at their football record and all the rest of it. And here's the interesting stat that I think gets lost by a lot of people. So he gets paid a lot of money down there. Saban makes a lot of money. We all understand that. But it's probably not even close to enough. And here's why. When you've got a great program that goes somewhere within that college playoff every single year, people are drawn to that university. And I know the numbers. When Lex was coming out, the numbers are incredible in terms of the amount of students that are applying to go to that school.
Yes.
And then they just picked that up. So that's one more element to this
whole thing. I was told by someone whose son went to Alabama that they've got a policy down there on game day where the ancillary revenue outside the stadium goes towards a huge percentage of it goes towards trying to recruit the greatest faculty in the country. Now, think about that. I mean, how can you argue that, right? If you're spending your money off the football program to get the best possible faculty, that's a pretty strong case to be made.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive. One last thing, and I know we got to get going here, but how about St. John's? They had a great season. Unfortunately, lost yesterday to Linfield, but they
season. Linfield, Oregon, but 11-1, and we had Gary Foshick on earlier this week. He had to overcome COVID just to get out there and coach, so it was a tough week for him as well. Hey, Pete, always a great week. Great being with you. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it. Take care.
You bet. Pete Najarian and The Huddle. Coming to you each and every Sunday. Next week, we'll do it again. And the only thing I know is we don't know exactly who will be on, but we know it's going to be fun. That's what we do because we're News Talk 830, the Beacon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.